Hey guys, do you work in emergency medicine? An absolutely crazy and intense environment where you see things every day that most people don't see once in their entire life. Are you feeling burned out, unappreciated, and like there's no one you can talk to about the things that you see every day and the struggles that you're having? Well, you're not alone. And I'm going to bring in a bunch of real professionals with real stories today that can relate to the stuff that you're seeing on a daily basis. I've struggled with burnout. I've struggled with discouragement, frustration many times, and I still struggle with it occasionally. My name's Aaron. I've been in emergency medicine for 15 years as an EMT, paramedic, and now working as an emergency medicine PA, and I'm the host of the Practical EMS podcast. We're going to bring in our guest today and have a great discussion that I hope you guys get some value from. Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of Practical EMS podcast. My name's Aaron, and I'm going to do just a solo episode today. I hope you guys are enjoying the increase in quality. The last kind of recording session we did, I was not happy with the audio quality, really, or the video quality. So I've upgraded some equipment, kind of done a new studio setup. So I hope you guys enjoy kind of the new quality that we have, and hopefully it makes it a little bit more easy to listen to, especially in just the audio format. I want to start this episode by just addressing a comment that I read on one of the reels that I posted. It was from, you know, a couple of months ago, but it's been on my heart and mind to kind of talk about. It was a reel where one of the nurses I had on, named Sarah, made a comment and kind of expanded on this topic of how do we get through these difficult patients that we see, especially ones that are perpetrators of horrible crimes and horrible tragedies that they themselves have caused. And her point was to the fact that she is not God, and there is not going to be justice this side of heaven a lot of times. And maybe I'll go ahead and just put that reel in here so you guys can see the exact quote.
I've had patients who came in, we pronounced them dead from a certain accident or scene, and then the next person came in is the person who caused that accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm devastated. Like, yeah. I can't see straight. I can't see the justice. I can't see the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see anything redemptive in it. And he's like, I can't do that, Sarah. He's like, yeah. I cannot tell you that there's going to be justice this side of, he's a Christian. He was like, I can't tell you there's going to be justice this side of heaven, but I can tell you that I believe that God is keeping a record and that there will be justice someday. And it wasn't enough in the moment, but it was something it takes me out of the equation of being God. I can't control every aspect of this, but I can leave it. There is a God and I'm not it.
So I understand the point she's making, but I don't think that point was super clear to everybody that maybe saw the clip or didn't see the entire episode to see it in its proper context. So I just wanted to expand on that today. One commenter on the reel said that God will get you one day isn't the best reason to not do medical malpractice / neglect. But hey, whatever gets you there, I guess. And I think what they're saying here is God will get you one day is not a reason to not perform good medicine or to neglect a patient. And I completely agree. And that's not the justification she was using. The fact of the matter is when we deal with these difficult patients, we take care of them to the best of our abilities every time. And it's easy to do. And a lot of times it's easy because we get these patients and we do not know their entire story. You know, we get one trauma patient, then we get another trauma patient, and their stories and the situation surrounding the trauma don't come out until well after we've taken care of the patient and got them where they need to go and taken care of them. So it doesn't even come into play half the time. And when it does, it doesn't affect our care. It does affect our mindset, though, because you see the injustice in the world, you see the unfair situations. And in the proper context of this episode, it makes you question God. And is there a God in emergency medicine? Is there a God at all? Is this evidence that there's not a God and that this world we live in is just chaos and there's no rhyme or reason to what happens and there's no fairness, there's no justice? And the way that Sarah explained how she comes to terms with this horrible reality is that a lot of times there's not justice this side of heaven, and she's not God. She doesn't have to be. She's not here to judge anybody. And because we don't have to judge anybody, it's not our job to make the world fair. And that gives her peace of mind that ultimately there will be fairness in heaven and it doesn't have to be here on earth. And that helps her sleep at night after dealing with some of these difficult situations. And I just wanted to explain that in the proper context. And a lot of people did get the proper context. I got some comments on it. I wanted to read one of the good comments about it, which said, "You just hit the nail on the head. It's about finding what will allow you to carry on." And I think that's so important because we all deal with these difficult situations, and if we can find something to grasp onto that helps us sleep at night and helps us deal with and process and heal from these horrible tragedies, these awful situations we see, it's important to hold on to those because it's a very difficult job, and the people that can't come to terms with it and can't justify what's going on in their own mind really, really struggle. And so whether you believe in God or not, I don't think is the point. I think it's about finding some kind of peace of mind that we are going to witness very difficult situations. We're going to witness things that we have no control over that are super unfair. And you're going to say, there's no justice in this world. How do we deal with these things? And whatever you can use to come to terms with that and come to peace with it is super important. And if you believe in God and you believe that one day there will be justice, and you don't have to be that justice here, you don't have to be that person that makes everything fair, and God will handle all that eventually, I think that's a great way to come to peace with it. So I just wanted to explain that in its proper context for those that just watched the reels, in case they wanted to kind of expand on that, because I think quite a few people probably thought that based on that reel, but I think an equal amount of people also saw it in its proper context and actually benefited from it. So I just wanted to address that comment kind of before continuing on in this episode. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, guys, is this concept of taking care of yourself before you take care of patients. This is one of the emergency standards that I try to live by. And I call them emergency standards because they become emergencies if you don't deal with them on a daily basis. If you're meeting these standards consistently throughout your day, you know, every day for a week or every day for a month, if you're consistently meeting these standards, they don't become an emergency. You're dealing with them as they come. But if you neglect to meet standards, whether they be in hydrating, proper nutrition, exercise, getting to work on time, if you don't meet these standards long enough, they become an emergency. They become a heart attack eventually. They become burnout eventually. When you don't do the daily things to prevent a crisis, eventually they will become a crisis and they will become an emergency. So I call them emergency standards because you need to treat them as if it's an emergency now, so it doesn't become an emergency later, if that makes sense. And one of these emergency standards is taking care of yourself before you take care of patients. And this is one of the biggest ones that I talk about all the time because I think it is super, super key to thriving in emergency medicine and doing this job for any length of time with any kind of sustainability and with any satisfaction from the job. And I've come to understand this over the last couple of years as I've gone on my own health and fitness journey and really started to take care of myself truly before I take care of patients and put myself as a number one priority in the morning. So I kind of wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about that today. And just to preface, this episode is for those of you that are kind of on the fence and you're debating making some behavioral changes and some health changes in your lives. You know, maybe you recognize that you need to start exercising more. Maybe you're recognizing that you need to start tracking your food or counting calories or tracking your macros. Whatever it is that you're debating doing, this episode's for you. If you're not on that side of the fence and you're saying, I don't need a change. Like, I'm good with where I'm at. I'm not motivated. This episode's really not for you, so you can just turn it off. I don't want to speak to people that aren't ready to make that change. But if you're on the cusp of making that change, or you're really motivated to better yourself, those are the people that I want to speak to today. So I was really ambitious last spring, and I trained for a half marathon. And this required like hours of cardio every day, swimming, biking, running. And I was eating terrible. I didn't track any of my food. And I actually still was in a calorie excess at the end of the day because I was eating so much because I was starving after these workouts. And I got really overweight. I actually got more overweight than I've been in years just because I was eating terrible the whole time. And despite, you know, the cardio, it was not benefiting me overall. And I mean, it's very true that, you know, you cannot out-train a bad diet. And, you know, I didn't do any meal planning and, you know, and I finished the race with an hour to spare. So I accomplished my goal, but I felt terrible. I was bloated all the time. I was the heaviest I've been in years. And I decided I needed to make a better change than just working out to excess. I was listening to a podcast and they talked about 75 hard, which I hadn't really heard of. Started looking into the rules and, you know, I decided let's take a look into that. You know, it's free to do it. You just find the rules online and you follow these rules for 75 days and that's the program. It's two daily workouts. One has to be outside. Both of them are 45 minutes. You drink a gallon of water. You read 10 pages of a nonfiction book. You take a progress picture. You do a strict diet plan with no cheat meals, no alcohol, and you do it every day for 75 days. If you miss one of those things on one day, you fail the entire program. And that's kind of the part that motivated me was like, gosh, if I do one cheat meal, I failed this whole 75 days. So that kind of motivated me and just kind of helped me have the right mindset surrounding this, that there's no compromises. The workouts for me weren't that difficult. I had been working out a lot, but the nutrition was the hardest part, where like there's no cheat meals, there's no exceptions for 75 days. And 75 days is long enough that you really like hammer these things in as habits. So it was really, really helpful. I started in September of 2023 and had great success. It changed me mentally, gave me confidence to actually do what I said I would do. I've been able to set other daily goals, stick to them like I've never been able to stick to them before. That's kind of the crazy thing about the program, is it the whole point is to make you mentally tough so that you can do things on days you don't feel like doing them. Because most of the time I would wake up in those 75 days and I would not feel like working out. I would not feel like tracking my food. But you do it anyway. And it's doing it on those days where you don't feel like it that actually makes you mentally tough, so that, you know, when you're off this program and you have a bad day, you don't turn to these old bad habits and you continue doing the new ones that you've established. Now, I think everybody should be doing 75 hard. And I understand that it's super, super difficult for a lot of people. But I really think it's absolutely key to be putting yourself before your patients first thing in the morning. For me, I take much better care of my patients if I've exercised and hydrated and really made myself the number one priority in the morning. And that's why I hammer on this point so much, that ultimately we're here in emergency medicine to serve our patients. And you can only do that if you're serving yourself first. If you're neglecting yourself first, you're going to be mentally foggy at work. You're not going to be thinking clearly. You're not going to be energetic and motivated. And you're not going to take as good a care of patients as you will if you're taking care of yourself first. And this also applies throughout the day. In working in the ER, it turns into chaos inevitably at some point during the day. You know, I've got a ER full of 16 patients that I might be simultaneously managing. Some of them are really sick. Some of them are ready to be discharged home because everything looks fine. And some of them may need emergent procedures. Some of them need to be admitted. And they're all in various stages of workup. It can turn into absolute chaos when you've got a task list of 12 things that you need to do. And you have to slow down and kind of tackle these one at a time. And also taking care of yourself throughout the day, you know, you tend to neglect eating, you tend to neglect drinking water, and you put off using the bathroom for hours. But most of these patients are not dying. You don't have to do most of these things immediately. Now, of course, if a patient's critical, you got to go deal with that patient. But a lot of times it's fine to go use the bathroom on your way to see a patient. It's okay to sit there and drink some water for a second and collect your thoughts. Do some computer things while you're drinking some water, and you can hydrate throughout the day. You just have to be intentional about these things. It's hard, but it's possible to do it. And a lot of providers I see neglect doing that throughout the day, and then they end up at the end of their shift starving and dehydrated, and then you make poor choices with your health after that. And part of taking care of yourself before taking care of these patients is taking a couple sips of water before you go and see your next patient. Hey guys, if you are interested at all in learning about any of the supplements I've been taking as I've gone on my own health journey to gain muscle mass and become more healthy and lower my blood pressure, and all these important things that I think we should all be doing, especially in our 30s when we actually have the ability to take some control over this without medication. A couple things that I've implemented, guys, are creatine, which really helps support muscle breakdown when you're lifting, holds that water in the muscle to allow it to tear more. So if you guys are interested in what creatine products I'm using, I really recommend First Form. They are a phenomenal supplement company. If you want to support a business that's not on Amazon, check out the links down in the show notes. But I recommend their creatine. It's phenomenal. I recommend their pre-workout. If you guys need that extra boost, especially if you need that caffeine and you need that pump before you work out in the morning, take a look down at the links below for their pre-workout that I recommend, that I drink every single day, that helps me get motivated after I'm up to actually get in the gym and do a good workout. The point is, you can control certain aspects of your day. Even on the ambulance, there are things you can control. You can't control when they're giving you calls. You can't control what part of town they're making you sit in to wait on a call. But you can control how much water you brought with you that day. You can control how much food you packed with you that day. And you can control when you're eating and when you're drinking to a large degree. So I think it's important to control the controllable factors. You know, the ones that we have no influence over, whatever, just let them go. There's nothing we can do about them anyway. But if you can control certain factors throughout your day, it just increases your odds of making the healthy choices. And I've been terrible at this in the past too. I've not been perfect at this. I've just been better at it the last couple of years. But I mean, there's been many times in the past where I go an entire shift without eating any food. I'm hardly drinking any water. And then on my way home, I'm picking up a pizza because I'm starving and I'm making bad choices. And I wake up the next morning feeling terrible because I've ingested 3,000 calories of just straight carbohydrates and I've had no protein and I haven't exercised and I'm dehydrated. And it spirals and spirals and spirals. And so you have to make these intentional efforts every day so you don't end up back on these bad habits. Another big factor that we have control over is what time we wake up in the morning. I think it's super key to be waking up hours before your shift, whether you're working on an ambulance on 12-hour shifts, whether you're working in the ER on 10-hour shifts, whatever you're doing, getting up early before your shift so you can take a little bit of time for yourself is absolutely key. If you can get up and get a little bit of exercise in, start hydrating, read a little bit of a book, meditate, you know, think about your day, look at a task list of things you want to accomplish in that day, pray, whatever is important to you and you can do before you go into shift to get yourself in the right mindset will absolutely change your day. If you're waking up 5 minutes before your shift and you're rushing in and you're 15 minutes late clocking in, that's a completely different setup for a bad day. When you wake up early and then you can leave for work on time, you're not fighting traffic. I can't even tell you guys how much it has changed my day by getting up early and getting some exercise in. And then I am leaving a little bit early for work and I don't have to worry about traffic. I'm not angry at the other drivers. If I'm delayed by 5 minutes because of bad traffic, it's not that big of a deal because I'm still going to get to work on time. Just subtracting that little bit of stress out of my day has absolutely changed my mindset going into work. And then I'm ready to take care of patients when I get to work. I'm not frustrated. I'm not stressed. I feel good. I've actually taken care of myself first thing in the morning. And now I'm actually ready to give of myself to other people. And I can actually connect with the other human beings that I'm taking care of. And the easier you can make some of these healthy habits, the better they're going to be. The easier they're going to be to do during the day. If you pack some food the night before, if you prep some food and you throw it in a lunchbox, you're going to have it ready to go. Then if you wake up expecting to try to make all this food the day of, it's likely not going to happen. If you're not filling a water bottle with water throughout the day, you're not going to drink water. You've got to make these habits easy or else you're going to end up going to the hospital cafeteria or you're going to end up grabbing that fast food because it's convenient. And then you're going to spiral and you're not going to feel better and you're not going to form these new habits. You have to make them easy. You have to make them accessible. And a lot of people struggle with this putting yourself first priority because it's hard when you have a family. You want to put your kids first. You want to put your spouse first. And it's a big thing to put your job first a lot of times too. But what I found is I'm a better father, I'm a better husband, I'm a better PA when I actually put myself as the number one priority in the morning. And waking up early actually helps, you know, I can get a lot of things done before my kids are up. And so I can actually be present for them mentally and physically after they get up if I can get up early before them, even on my days off to get things done and show up for them in the best way. If I'm trying to play with my kids and my mind's, you know, worrying about all these other things I need to do, then I'm not really present with them. I'm not mindful with them. And if I can get those things done before they wake up, then they're not on my mind and I can actually be present with them in the moment. And that's super important. And as a side note, I think if you're exercising and you're sacrificing an hour a day with your kids because you're getting in some exercise, I think that trade-off is worth it in the long term. Long term, your kids are going to be more appreciative of you if you're physically healthy and you are doing things for yourself. Because you're going to be able to be physically active with them as they age. You know, if you're not exercising, you're not going to be able to be physically active with them as you grow older and as they grow older. So I think that little bit of time sacrifice, even if it directly interferes with your time with them, is worth the trade-off. You know, you have to make yourself a priority. And a lot of people struggle with that. I get it. Like I have two kids running around. I want to spend more time with them. It's a constant battle between work and, you know, trying to spend time with family and, you know, working out cuts into family time even a little bit further. But I feel like the trade-off is worth it, especially if you can get it done before the kids are awake, because then you don't trade off that time. But even still, if you're trading a little bit of time while they're awake, I think it makes you feel so much better and it makes you physically healthier that ultimately it's going to lead to more time with them in the long run anyway. And listen, guys, I get it. I can't convince anybody to do 75 hard. I've been able to talk like two people into it. It's a very hard program. It's very daunting. But truthfully, the longer you do it, these habits actually get to be really easy. For me, doing two workouts a day, even with one of them being outdoors, has become second nature and I feel so much better. I'm much healthier physically. I've lost 45 pounds. My body fat percentage is extremely low. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. And I feel so much better mentally. I feel like I can tackle a lot of things in each day. I don't feel like there's things I can't overcome. I'm taking better care of my patients. I'm working more efficiently. I'm working more effectively. And I can be there for my coworkers. I can be there for the patients because I've given myself that number one priority in the morning. So I understand that 75 hard is super daunting. You don't have to do 75 hard, but if you can implement some of these strategies, even just a few of them, I think will absolutely change your life. And this is something that we're not taught growing up. If you're anything like me, you have a parent or, you know, your father was somebody that just worked and worked and worked. And, you know, I think back to even my grandfather. My grandpa worked every day of his life. Even when he was in retirement, he was driving a bus. Every time we were over at their house, this guy's outside chopping wood. Even in his 70s, he's outside chopping wood. He's always working, always doing something. But he never made himself the number one priority. He never exercised. He never went to a doctor to get his labs checked. He never really prioritized his own health. And that led to him having a stroke, you know, probably earlier in life than he would have had it otherwise had he prioritized his health. You know, he probably had super elevated blood pressure for years, didn't realize it because he did not prioritize his health. And eventually that led to a stroke, and he had horrible residual symptoms from it. You know, he was extremely debilitated and confused basically the rest of his life. And my grandma had to take care of him, you know, for the remaining years that he was alive. And the last, you know, I want to say it was a decade of his life was extremely, extremely poor. He was extremely debilitated. He wasn't all there mentally. He wasn't all there physically. He required a lot of 24-hour care. He was having falls. And if he had made his health a higher priority earlier in his days, rather than just working and working and working, he might have delayed that stroke by 5 or 10 years, and the outcome might have been much different, and he would have had much longer health span. That's the reason I take my own health so important now is get your labs checked, you know, check your blood pressure. Is your BMI trending in the wrong direction? Are your labs trending in the wrong direction? What's your blood pressure? You know, you need to be checking these things even when you're in your 30s, because we're seeing people with heart attacks in their 30s. And you need to be checking these things and trending them and making positive changes in your life, because it's going to matter. It might not matter in your 30s. It might not matter in your 40s. But eventually, you know, I call these emergency standards for a reason. Eventually, they're going to become an emergency, maybe in your 50s, maybe in your 60s. But you can delay these things until your 70s and 80s if you take care of yourself now. I understand none of us are going to live to be 120, but you can increase your health span. You can increase that period of time where you have all your faculties about you and you're not a burden on your family by a significant period of time if you make your health a priority now, when you can actually do something about it without having to be on a ton of medications and require, you know, significant care by physicians. So guys, the major things here that have made the biggest difference for me over the last year, just some habits that if you're on that cusp, if you're that person that is looking to make some changes, and if you don't want to do 75 hard, that's fine. I get that it's super, super difficult. But if you're that person that's debating making some changes, I would encourage you to A, get up early before your shift. Take some time, whether it's an hour, 2 hours before your shift, to make yourself the number one priority. You need to be hydrating. Hydrate every single day. Drink as much of a gallon of water as you can. If you can get a gallon of water down, that's perfect. I drink a gallon of water a day now, and it's great. I don't feel like that's hard to do at all, even though it was super difficult in the beginning. We're made of mostly water. You need to be hydrating. C, you need to track your calories. Figure out what is a proper calorie amount for you every day and track everything that goes into your mouth. A bonus if you can track your macros. For some reason, there's a significant lack of education of tracking macros, but truthfully, we all should be doing it. You need to be eating a certain amount of protein. You know, I think the best advice is 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, or per pound of goal body weight. And, you know, for somebody like me, I weigh 180, so I'm trying to eat 180 grams of protein a day. That's a tall order, and you have to really dial in your nutrition in order to hit that. But especially as you get older, you lose muscle mass. And so hitting that protein macro is super important. The fat and carbs you can debate. For me personally, I like to be low carb. I feel better on low carb. I feel less hungry eating low carb, but everyone's different. So the fats and the carbs, I think you can kind of let land where they land, but the protein is super, super key. So if you can track your food, track the calories, and track the protein. I think those are the super important factors to tracking your nutrition. I can't remember if we are on C or D, but I would say the next point is you need to be doing daily exercise. Even if it's 20 minutes, do something. The point is more the discipline than actually what you're doing. If you can jump on a Peloton bike for 20 minutes, if you can take a walk outside with your dog for 20 minutes, whatever you can do, if you can do it consistently every day and you can enjoy it to some degree, I think that's absolutely key to changing your life. And the longer you can do it and the heavier weight you can lift or the faster you can run, I think the better. But incorporate some daily exercise. Don't work out 3 days a week. Don't work out 4 days a week. Incorporate it as a daily discipline. It's not that difficult, and you can find that time if you wake up early. Those are my major tips for you guys. If you can just incorporate some of those, I think you will be a little bit more happy. You will be able to survive in emergency medicine a little bit more, and you'll be able to take a little bit better care of your patients. And more you can implement, the more you can become disciplined and consistent with these habits, the better you're going to be able to serve your patients, and the better you're going to feel about yourself, the more you can accomplish. I mean, we all got into this field to serve others. Ultimately, we didn't get into it for the money. We didn't get into it for the hero accolades. You know, we got in it to serve other people. And you have to take care of yourself first. Too many of us have neglected ourselves for far too long. I did it for years and years. I prioritized school and I prioritized work over myself every single day. And when you do that for years on end, it becomes an emergency. Your health becomes an emergency. Your mental health becomes an emergency. I don't want you guys to get to that point. We all know people who have got to the crisis point, and I'm trying to prevent that in as many people as possible. So I'll just leave you with that, guys. Make yourself the number one priority. Take care of yourself before you take care of patients. And I promise you, it's going to change your life. And just remember, guys, that next patient that you take care of, that next call you run, that next room you go in the emergency department might be a critical patient that demands of you all of your skills, all of your knowledge. So you have to be prepared for that every single day. And part of how you do that is taking care of yourself first. Guys, I'll see you on the next episode. And thanks for listening. Hey guys, I'm going to jump in here. That's the end of this episode. If you got any value out of this today, if it resonated with you, if it encouraged you, the only thing I ask is that you subscribe to the show. And if you leave a 5-star rating and review, that is super helpful. I don't make any money from the podcast, and it does cost money to produce. So it's really helpful when you guys can subscribe to the show. It helps encourage me and keeps me doing this. You can also go to practicalems.com and check out all the videos and links there. There's also an EKG course if you want to financially support the show. And it's a pretty top-notch EKG course, if I do say so myself. So check it out there. You can also join my email list on practicalems.com and get notified of every episode release. You can also join my email list at practicalems.com and get notified of every time we release a new episode. So check it out there, guys, if you want to support the show. And thanks for checking this one out, and we'll see you on the next one.